Good evening to each one, and Christian greetings. It's a blessing to gather together as a family, as a church family, as part of the people of God, and take part in a special service like this. My text for tonight is a very short, actually just part of a verse, and so I guess I won't have you turn to it. A verse from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself." And that is a very common phrase, and a very common phrase to think about when we think about a council service. I thought about our an examination. So in a physical, in a health care sense of the word, the doctors do examinations. And maybe you had the opportunity to go for a physical exam or some other checkup. Maybe there wasn't necessarily anything wrong. Maybe it was just an annual checkup. But you went and sat down with the doctor. The doctor started by asking a few questions. And as we go throughout the sermon tonight, I won't have time to make all the parallels, but there's a lot of parallels there. And I want you to think about it. Think about on your own thinking as you muse on the thoughts and think about the parallels. But there's going to be some questions asked. The doctor will ask some questions. You may say, "How are you? How's it been going? How has your the last 3 months, what have you experienced? Anything traumatic in your life?" If you talk about a little bit of pain, he might start asking you, "Well, when is there a certain time that the pain is worse than others? If you have a headache, is it always in the morning?" He may ask you on a level of 1 to 10, what level is your pain? But the doctor's going to ask some questions. He's going to record some data, and he's probably going to use a few tools. He may use a stethoscope or a blood pressure cuff. Or a thermometer. He'll use a scales or maybe a measure on the wall to see what your height is. And so he's going to record some of that data, your weight, your blood pressure, your temperature, so on. He may run some tests. He may order some tests, maybe do some blood work. Try and figure out, you know, if you're having a problem, what is causing the problem. And then he's going to make some observations, and he's going to make some evaluations, and he'll say, "You know, according to the tests and what came back, and according to what you're telling me, and from my experience and what I've seen in other people," and then he's going to make some observations and some evaluations. And that may not happen all in one visit. It could happen over a couple of visits. But I like to think tonight, and in that case, the doctor is doing the examination. The scripture says, "Let a man examine himself." And so each of us tonight are called to a personal evaluation. A personal examination, but also in the context of brotherhood, because that verse is given right in the context of the communion service, which is a brotherhood activity. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And so it's personal examination, personal evaluation in the context of the brotherhood. And that is what we're here for tonight as we've gathered together. The title of the sermon is A Wellness Check. A Wellness Check. And our bodies are comprised of 11 different systems. I think maybe some people say 12. I didn't look for sure. But commonly accepted, 11 different systems in your body. But they are not individualistic. They are not self-supporting. They work together and for the good of each other and for the good of the body. And I'm not going to look at 11 different body systems tonight. I'm just going to pick out four different body systems that I like to look at and think about and compare it to our spiritual life, to our spiritual health, and to our service tonight. I'd like to move through this as quickly as we can and give you plenty of time to share your testimony and share with the brotherhood in a bit. The first system that I like to look at is our circulatory system, and this is also known as our cardiovascular system. And you will understand that you will know by that we're talking about our heart. Our heart and blood vessels. And they have the job of delivering oxygen and nutrients to the rest of the body and also collecting waste products for removal from the body by other systems. And there you see how systems work together. The cardiovascular, the circulatory system collects the waste, but it's taken out of the body by other systems. So the question for us tonight is, do I have a healthy heart? And that is a very pertinent question in our physical lives. We are concerned about our hearts. Do I have a healthy heart? Is my heart functioning like it should? In my spiritual life, do I have a healthy heart? How is my love? When we think about hearts, we think about love. How is my love? Epos is a vital sign of a healthy heart or a physical life. A pulse is a vital sign that they take to tell if there's life there. And I believe that the pulse of my love is a sign of my spiritual life or my lack of it. So what is the pulse of my love? Can you put a pulse on your love tonight? We ask the question, do you have peace with God? And we could just as well say, do you love the Lord? And do you love the Lord? And if we can all answer that question, we will not have peace with God unless we love the Lord. It goes together. And if we love the Lord, we're going to have peace with him. What is the pulse of your love? The scribe asked Jesus what the greatest commandment is, and Jesus went back to Deuteronomy, to the law, and he said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's very crucial and very important to understand. There's only one Lord, and so there's only one object of our love. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So there is the, from early ages, the call, the requirement to love, the call to love God, to love with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, with all human capability. How could you do it any better? How could you do it any more? And then Jesus went on and said that the second is like unto it. It's namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And so we have love for God, and then we have love for the men, for mankind, for our neighbors, for others. And the scribe agreed with him. He said, you've said well, that is right. It is very true what you have said, because there is one God. There is one God. He recognized that. There's none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And sometimes we get that a little confused. We think that in the Old Testament, the important part was to offer the sacrifices and to bring the offerings and the sacrifices. But the scribe says, you're right. To love God and love your neighbor is more than everything else. But you might say, we aren't bound to the Old Testament law. So did this law go away? There were some laws that went away. We don't follow all the sacrificial and the Levitical, the priesthood laws. Did this law go away? Or where do we stand in the New Testament? Jesus said that was the most important law in the Old Testament. You will remember that in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus compares some of the old to the new and the paradigm shift. One of the changes that he made, he says, you understand that it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And he says, and hate thine enemy. And I guess that's what they understood. That's so we need to love our neighbors because that is what Deuteronomy tells us. But if you're not my neighbor and if you're my enemy, then I don't need to love you. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And so he took it to a higher level. Not only are we called to love our neighbors, but we are called to love those that we don't get along with, those that we would consider our enemies. He also took it to a higher standard. And you may wonder, how can we have a higher standard? I thought we were to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our might. There's different words used different places. How can a human do anything more than that? How can we do better than that? That sounds like the highest standard there could be. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, that's not new. We were told to love each other before. But then he goes on to say, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And so there is a new commandment. No longer are we to love one another just as we love ourselves, okay? In the Old Testament, they were told to love thy neighbor as their selves. And so to the same extent that I love myself, which I don't know that any of us can really tell what extent that is, but we were to love our neighbors to that extent. But Jesus says, no more only to the extent that you love yourself, but now you're supposed to love the way that I loved you. And so he takes it to a higher level. The standard of one's love for others was one's love for himself. But now the new standard of love is not our love for ourselves, but rather Christ's love for us. And so that's what he did with the second commandment. And it is reasonable to think, to understand that the first commandment would also be raised to the new level as well. That wherewith we were called to love God with all of the human capability that we could have, that now we are called to love God with the same love that Christ had for his Father. And how can we do that as humans today? Well, I believe it is only possible as we have Christ in our hearts, and we have the love of Christ in our hearts, and we have the mind of Christ in our hearts. And then we can love God the way that Christ loved him. Jesus said that the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. There was the love that Jesus had for God. He did always those things that please him. And I think that needs to be our love tonight, to do always the things that please God. The sign in front of our church for a while said something like, is our love for sin keeping us from God, or is our love for God keeping us from sin? And there you have the real, what love will do for us in everyday life. It will keep us from sin. And so, how is your love? How is your heart? Do a check on your spiritual heart. Second system I like to think about is our respiratory system. And this is our lungs. It allows us to inhale and exhale air to exchange gases between blood and lung space deep within the lungs themselves. The carbon dioxide produced in metabolism is offloaded, while oxygen from air is onloaded to red blood cells. And that's what our respiratory system is doing for us all the time. And so the question tonight is, do you have healthy lungs? Do I have healthy lungs? I like to think about our communication. Communication, of course, with God, first of all. The songwriter said, prayer is the Christian's vital breath. And communication with God is vital to Christian life and Christian experience. Physically, we cannot remain alive without breathing, and neither can a Christian remain alive without prayer, without communication with God. Breathing is also a vital sign. You can tell if a person is alive by checking to see if they're breathing. It's one of the first things that they check. They want to know if a person is alive, and I believe also to check and see if a person is alive spiritually, we should be able to tell by their prayer life and by their communication with God. Just as breathing infuses fresh oxygen into our lives, so prayer brings fresh life and fresh oxygen into our lives. Breathing also cleanses us. It cleans out some impurities out of our system, takes that carbon monoxide out of our system, carbon dioxide out of our system. And in our prayer life, it will cleanse us. It will take impurities out as we communicate with God. We are commanded many times to pray. Bible says, pray without ceasing. It says, watch and pray. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Pray to the Father. Continue instant in prayer. Our communication with God, it is a very important and vital part of our experience. In the parable that Jesus gave of the persistent widow, and he tells us at the beginning of the parable, as he does in many parables, why he gave the story. What was the lesson you were to learn? And he says that the reason for this parable was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so he says that you have two options. You're going to either pray, remain alive spiritually, you're going to take on that fresh oxygen, remain alive, or you're going to faint. And one of the primary causes for fainting is a lack of oxygen, right? When you don't breathe, you hold your breath too long, and you can make yourself pass out. You can faint. A lack of oxygen, you get in a stuffy room, and you don't have enough oxygen. All of a sudden, you start feeling lightheaded. It's because you don't have enough oxygen. Well, Jesus says that you either need to pray or else you're going to faint. And so that widow came and was persistent before that judge, pleading her cause. And that is how we need to be in our prayer life. He closes that parable by saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will we endure? Will we be a praying people? Martin Luther said, as it is the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. And we don't think about how important it is for us as Christians to be a praying people. There's other communication with God. There's praise and worship. We gather together in his house and sing, and other times we sing. There's communication with other people. And I believe we need to do a health check on our communication. How is our speech? Is it with grace, seasoned with salt, as we are called to in Colossians? So how is your health? How is the health of your lungs? Do you have healthy lungs? Do you have good breath, good oxygen, good communication, both with God and with other people? The third body system is our skeletal system. And this is just our bones, cartilage, and ligaments that provides a structural framework for the rest of our body, like a scaffolding for organs and tissues. This system affords protection of vital organs and permits locomotion of the organisms. The bone marrow in the middle of long bones makes immune cells. Okay, so this is just a short, brief caption of what our bones, what our skeletal system is. And so our question again is, do I have healthy bones? Do you have healthy bones? I'd like to think about our doctrine. How is your doctrine? Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now sometimes we're a little skeptical of structure and form and some of those things that seem like they just kind of box us in. But how would our bodies function without a skeletal system? What would you be? Just a limp noodle, something that couldn't stand up, couldn't hold. It just wouldn't work. And so we need to be thankful for the form and for the structure that God has given to us as well. Like the skeletal system, sound doctrine provides a structural framework. It brings stability and structure into our lives in a world of change, instability, and where anything goes. You know, that's where we're living today. Anything goes. Instability, change, and fear. And nobody really knows what is happening and what is right. They don't know what is right, many people. But in that world, we need to remain grounded and settled on the truth. We need to know where we stand and stand there. And this will provide a framework in which we can function and live to the glory of God. And that is what sound doctrine, that is what Bible doctrine will do for us. Sound doctrine also affords protection from the attacks of the devil. The devil is trying to get each one of us to fall. And just like our skeletal system provides protection for our organs, our doctrine, our sound doctrine, will provide protection against the attacks of the devil. We're called to put on the whole armor of God, that protection that we may be able to stand against the devil. And it goes on to talk about the things that we face and the things that we wrestle against. It's not physical, but it's a spiritual battle. And so the sound doctrine will protect us and help us to remain strong in the midst of attacks. Sound doctrine will also provide immunity for error, for erroneous beliefs, and for doctrines that are false, things that will take us astray, things that will take us to a devastating end. And so if we believe sound doctrine, if we study sound doctrine and read and seek to understand the Bible and the truths that are there, it will provide immunity, just like our bones. The bone marrow produces immunity for our body to use. How will we endure to the end? Well, we'll only endure by ascribing to the truth. Be not carried about with divers or different and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that time has happened, well, probably ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. They did not endure the truth and did not endure sound doctrine. But it says it's going to become worse. And after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, what would you rather follow than the truth? The truth is what is real and what is right. And that is what sound doctrine will provide for us. That is what a framework, a skeletal system in our Christian life will provide for us. And the fourth system I would like to look at tonight is our muscular system. Muscles come in three main types. They're skeletal muscles that move us around and perform other functions when we contract them voluntarily. There's smooth muscle muscle that lines organs such as the gut and bladder and operates involuntarily. So some muscles you don't even control. They're in there, they're working in your body. You don't have anything to do with controlling them. There's also cardiac muscles, and this is a specialized kind of muscle in the myocardium of the heart. And I don't understand exactly what it all does, but it helps to keep the heart pumping and keeps you alive, keeps the blood flowing like it needs to. But there's something interesting when I think about these muscles, and that is that some of them are voluntary actions, their choices. You decide whether you're going to do this or do that. But as you do it over and over again, they become habits, okay? And so you don't think about it. I do not, when I walk, I do not think about putting my one foot in front of the other. It just happens. But then there's other muscles that are involuntary. And in our Christian life, you know, some of our actions are voluntary. Some of there's choices that we make and in our lives. But then there's others that are more involuntary that are a response of love. We love him because he first loved us. That's just a response. The love of Christ constraineth us. And so because of the love of Christ, it constrains us to act this way and to do this thing. It's almost like an involuntary action, a result of our love for Christ and of his love for us. As we think about our muscles, our strong, healthy muscles, do we have strong, healthy muscles? I'm thinking about actions, thinking about obedience, thinking about our practical applications to the doctrines of the Bible. And you see how our body, our muscular system works with the rest of our body, works with our skeletal system and the other systems. And so it is in our Christian lives that our actions and our obedience and our practical application has to work along with the doctrine and the things that we believe, the things that God's Word teaches us. In order to stay strong and healthy, we need to exercise our muscles. Muscles will become weak and will not function properly after a while if they are not exercised. Well, God has an exercise program as well. He says to work out your own salvation. Some people like to work out. Go to the gym and work out. Well, he says to work out your own salvation. Take some work. Take some perseverance. And it doesn't just happen in a day or two. It, day after day, work out your own salvation. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Some people like to take walks. The Bible tells us to walk in newness of life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in the light. Walk in truth. You want to take a walk? Want to exercise yourself spiritually? Take some of those walks. They're good for you. They're good for a spiritual man. Run. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Fight the good fight of faith. And Brendan talked about enduring hardship as a soldier and training for competition. And those athletes, those soldiers go through immense, some of them go through immense hardships and training in order to become physically fit and make themselves able to compete and able to fight and able to perform what they want to do. And that is what we are called to in our Christian and our spiritual lives as well, to exercise and to train and to become fit and be able to walk in holiness and walk in light. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word." Or you could say, don't just love in theory or in creed. You could have a statement written out that says, "I love God and I love my brother." And tonight you can say, "I love God and I love the brother. I love the brotherhood." You can say that. But he says, don't love just in word. And he says, don't love in tongue. And that's just in profession. Very similar. You can make a profession that I love. He says, but love in deed and in truth. And I believe that is like putting our muscles to work. To love in deed. That's working. That's doing something. That's action. That's obedience. And in truth. In the doctrines as we understand them. So as you think about your physical life tonight, think about your examination. Think about sitting down before the doctor and he asks you some questions. And think about your experiences over the past couple of months. Think about how you feel. Think about where you, you know, have failed maybe, or think about where you have grown. Think about those things. It's good for us to do an evaluation of ourselves. John said to Gaius, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And I guess the question for me tonight is that if my physical body was a walking replica of my spiritual man, how healthy would I look tonight? Would I look like I need to go to the hospital? Would I look like I need an emergency room? Would I look like I'm about ready to die? Or what would I look like? And John, to Gaius apparently was not healthy physically, but apparently his soul was prospering. He was doing well with his spiritual health. And it's a challenge for each one of us to consider our health, to examine ourselves, and see where we're at. May God bless each one of us.